It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. This is our state capitol report. A judge rules against Wisconsin Republicans in a lawsuit dealing with changes made during last year's lame duck session. Governor Evers announces he's pulling the state out of the lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act. And the GOP rejects the governor's capital budget proposal. Those issues and more will be what we talk about for the next 25 minutes or so with our state capitol reporter, Laurel White. Do you believe the lame duck sessions violated the Constitution? Are you a member of a union that filed a lawsuit against the lame duck sessions? Maybe you're an employee within the UW system that would benefit from the renovation and repairs of several UW buildings in the governor's capital proposal. Maybe you own a business in Wisconsin. What are your thoughts about giving tax incentives to businesses moving out of state? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR. Mornings. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
So let's start with the lame duck sessions and the ACA lawsuit. Laurel, thanks to a judge's ruling last week, we've now got a temporary injunction blocking some laws passed during last year's lame duck session. What does this mean?
So basically what it means is that all of the laws passed during that lame duck session are unenforceable right now. So one of those that I'm sure folks have heard about is the law that restricted the governor from withdrawing from that federal lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act. Obviously, he's able to do that now because he did last week. There are also a number of other limits that were put on the governor during that lame duck session, things that he wasn't able to do that former Governor Walker was able to do, and also about 80 appointments that Governor Walker made before he left office were struck from the books with that judge's rulings. So we have about 80 vacancies in different state capacities around the state right now.
What was it that led to the judge's decision in this case?
So this was a really procedural argument for this particular case. Essentially, what the plaintiffs were arguing here is that lawmakers never had the ability to call an extraordinary session in the first place. An extraordinary session is when lawmakers say, hey, we want to come into the Capitol and do some work, but we don't have a regularly scheduled session day on the books. So we want to sort of have the power to call ourselves in and do some things. That's what they did for the lame duck session in December. However, that power that they utilized to do that actually isn't in the state constitution. So in this lawsuit, they say, because this isn't a constitutional power that lawmakers exercised to create this extraordinary session, lame duck session, everything should be null and void that they do within this certain parameter of time. And the judge, in this case, Judge Richard Neese from Dane County, agreed with that argument.
Republican legislative leaders, of course, say they plan to appeal the ruling. They say it creates chaos. So walk us through the appeals process. What's this look like?
So Republican lawmakers were very, very quick to come out and say that they wanted to appeal this ruling. That appeal has already been filed. It's with the District 3 Court of Appeals in Wisconsin, which is in the central part of the state. Republican lawmakers actually wanted a very, very quick emergency stay of this Dane County ruling. They said that this is creating so much chaos with these vacant appointments and these laws that are no longer being enforced. They wanted a judge in the appeals court to essentially block the lower court's ruling on the same day. Now, the appeals court didn't agree to do that. They said on Friday that they want to give Governor Evers and Attorney General call actually until 4 p.m. today to file some paperwork with the court to kind of make their argument in defense of the previous decision. And then they'll go ahead and move forward with the appeal.
Laurel White is the Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and also co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, this lawsuit isn't the only one challenging the lame duck session and the laws passed during it. Where do these cases currently stand? What's the other case, and is the other lawsuit affected by the Dane County judge's decision?
So there are four lame duck lawsuits going on right now. There are two in state court. And to answer the last part of the question first, the individual decisions in each of these cases don't really affect the other. These are all kind of going along their paths, kind of parallel paths, not intersecting. Of course, you know, plaintiffs in the different cases will point to the case where there was a decision last week and say, hey, look, see, a judge struck down the lame duck session laws in that case. We're making a different argument. So just sort of symbolically, I suppose they can be related to each other, but practically there isn't much of an effect. The other state lawsuit was brought by a group of unions, and there's actually a hearing in that case this morning. So that'll really get moving this morning, where we hear arguments and see if we'll get a quick decision in that one as well.
Following the judge's ruling, Governor Evers says he intends to pull Wisconsin out of a multi-state lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act. This move could not have been a big surprise for state lawmakers.
Mm-hmm. It really wasn't. You know, that was a big thing that the governor campaigned on, removing Wisconsin from this multi-state federal lawsuit. He said that Wisconsin shouldn't be part of a group movement to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He was obviously very supportive of the Affordable Care Act throughout his campaign. So I think this was something that, you know, once the power was returned to him to be able to do that, he moved quickly on it. And I don't think that there was too much surprise among lawmakers. Now, of course, Republican lawmakers weren't pleased, but they weren't particularly shocked, I don't think.
Barring other legal challenges, what does this change mean for Wisconsin?
So actually, you know, dropping out of this lawsuit is kind of a symbolic thing, because it is, of course, a multi-state lawsuit. There are a number of other states that will continue to move forward with this lawsuit, regardless of whether Wisconsin is involved or not. So this is just sort of a statement of where Wisconsin as a state stands on the issue and whether or not they're going to be expending any resources or offering any support to advance this argument.
And what are we hearing from Attorney General Josh Call about this?
So he was very quick to respond to the governor and, you know, took action on, you know, getting all the wheels moving to get Wisconsin out of the lawsuit. So he's very supportive. This is something he campaigned on as well.
So I guess we have to wait for what the appeals court says. Information submitted to the appeals court, and then the court will make a ruling. Ultimately, though, this is going to end up in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, isn't it, no matter what happens with the appeals court?
Right, exactly. And that'll just kind of follow the chain of appeals all the way and on up to the state Supreme Court. So it's kind of just a matter of time. It seems like this appeal is going to move pretty quickly. Republicans are certainly pushing for a quick decision on this. So we could be at the state Supreme Court with this first lame duck case within just a matter of a few weeks.
All right. We will continue our conversation with Laura White, our state capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. A lot more to come on our State Capitol Report, so don't go anywhere as our conversation continues. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Laurel White is the Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. We're talking about the latest Wisconsin political news on the State Capitol Report. Laurel, last week, Republican lawmakers rejected Governor Evers' capital budget proposal, It's said to be larger than any previous capital budget proposed by former Governor Scott Walker. Walk us through the that situation, Laurel.
So this is a pretty large capital budget. It's about $2.5 billion. $2 billion of that is borrowing. To put it in context, the last capital budget from Governor Walker was about $1 billion. So this is really kind of the cornerstone of the argument from Republican lawmakers against this capital budget. They say it's just too much money, too many projects, too much borrowing, that there are certainly parts of the capital budget that they support, but they really think it needs to be pared down so it's a little bit more responsible, a little bit more accountable to Wisconsin taxpayers.
Last week's vote put a long list of UW projects in limbo. UW System President Ray Cross addressed the vote shortly after. What did President Cross have to say?
So President Cross said that he thinks that the UW system still needs to push pretty hard for all of the projects that are included in the capital budget. It's a pretty sizable chunk of the capital budget that goes to the UW system this time around. About $1 billion of the budget is directed for project improvements at the UW system and various campuses. So President Cross, after that vote, said, you know, a number of these projects are very, very important. He said over 60% of UW system buildings are between 45 and 70 years old. And so that creates problems in terms of safety and maintenance, and also the system's ability to attract students, you know, to be a continue to be a competitive educational system.
And there are projects in the governor's proposal that weren't part of the university. What are some of the other projects that are in this budget, and particularly the big ones?
So a set of projects that people, I'm sure, have heard about are the new juvenile prisons across Wisconsin. The budget includes money to build some of those new juvenile facilities as the state closes Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake and moves youth inmates into smaller regional facilities across the state, situating them a little bit closer to their families. There's also money in the budget for a new state office building in Milwaukee, just a whole host of other projects. But I think those are kind of the biggies that people have talked about outside of the UW system, which is certainly taking a lot of oxygen in the debate, as it is $1 billion of the $2.5 billion.
Well, Governor Evers said in a recent statement that some Republicans voted for these projects in committee the day before. So, you know, what was behind the sudden shift?
So this is kind of an interesting procedural happening. Basically, the State Building Commission exists to make recommendations to state lawmakers about whether to advance these projects or not as they work on the state budget. The Building Commission has subcommittees that have to do with kind of the specific parts of the capital budget, so they're divided into categories. These subcommittees decide whether or not the projects are then advanced to the full Building Commission, which then, you know, goes to state lawmakers. So as part of the debate, when Republican lawmakers were voting against each of these proposals, every single one, during the meeting last week, Democratic lawmakers pointed out that every measure passed out of subcommittees with unanimous votes. So they said, you know, a number of all of the Republican lawmakers on the Building Commission had previously voted for the projects in their capacity on the subcommittee. So they said, what's with the change? And Republican lawmakers said, you know, we've talked to all of our colleagues, we've talked with our leadership, and there are certainly projects we support. The things that we voted for, we think are good projects. Some we're particularly invested in and think are good ideas, but we're just so concerned with this capital budget as a whole that we really feel the need to kind of send the message of pumping the brakes, needing to stop and reevaluate and really pare this down before it becomes, actionable.
So lawmakers still have a chance to approve all or parts of the governor's plan?
Absolutely. This vote, it was a lack of a recommendation. What the Building Commission typically does is just send a recommendation on to state lawmakers and say, you know, this looks like a good capital budget to us. We we support these plans. That's just not what happened this time. But the process from here will be the same. State lawmakers on the budget committee will take a look at these projects and evaluate. There's just going to be a little bit more debate and a little bit more uncertainty moving forward in terms of, you know, what projects are going to be trimmed out of this to make it a little bit more palatable to Republican lawmakers.
Laurel White is the Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter and co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, with just over a week until the state Supreme Court election, candidates Brian Hagedorn and Lisa Neubauer are voting or are vying for Justice Shirley Abrahamson's seat. What's the latest on that race?
So we are getting pretty close to that that election. Certainly, there's been a lot of debate. We got some kind of an influx of outside money. The National Democratic Redistricting Committee has invested a fair amount of money in Lisa Neubauer, who's the liberal-backed candidate in the race. That's former Attorney General Eric Holder is the head of that group. Some folks might have heard about him, you know, stopping by Wisconsin and making a pitch for Lisa Neubauer. Interestingly, she's kind of pushed back on that and said she's not interested in outside money or outside support in this race. But that's certainly something that her opponent, Brian Hagedorn, has pointed to. I think what this race really boils down to, and it has been very consistent throughout, is each candidate sort of pointing to the other's supposed partisan affiliations or biases, you know, as they move forward, saying, I am going to be someone that's going to be fair and impartial on the bench. That's my judicial philosophy. However, I believe this other person has political affiliations that are too strong, and those are going to influence how they would rule on the state Supreme Court. So that's been a pretty consistent argument in other state Supreme Court races in recent years as well, and we're certainly seeing that play out here too.
Well, technically, this is a nonpartisan election, state Supreme Court justice, but as you point out, our Supreme Court elections have become very political in recent years. So let's talk specifically about this one. What does each party stand to gain if their candidate wins the election?
Well, the partisan balance of the state Supreme Court right now is 4-3, four conservatives to three liberal candidates or justices, rather. So Justice Shirley Abrahamson, who is retiring from the court, she's been a longtime justice, is part of that liberal wing of the court. So if Neubauer, the liberal-backed candidate, wins, essentially the balance of the court will stay the same, 4-3. However, you know, if the conservative-backed candidate, Brian Hagedorn, wins, that shifts the balance of the court a little bit more toward conservatives and makes it much more difficult and much less likely that liberals will be able to take control of the state Supreme Court anytime in the next several years. So this is seen as, while it wouldn't tip the balance of the court right now, a pretty important step for liberals in terms of, you know, are they making that headway toward taking control of the court that they haven't had for a while, or sort of taking a step back.
And finally, a bill just approved last week now moves on to the full assembly. This bill would eliminate tax breaks for businesses that leave Wisconsin. How does this change current law, and what does the state gain?
So under this proposal, which is a bipartisan proposal in the Capitol, businesses that move from Wisconsin to any other state or out of the country would no longer be able to deduct their moving expenses. So storage fees, professional movers, the real estate fees that they pay to sell their headquarters in Wisconsin. Right now, any business that moves within the state or out of state is able to do that. Lawmakers are arguing that that's just not fair to Wisconsin taxpayers to have them subsidize a business that's taking its economic activity outside of Wisconsin. So, as you mentioned, this is passed in assembly committee. It can go before the full assembly at any time. It hasn't had a vote in the state Senate yet, so we'll have to keep an eye on that in terms of how quickly this is going to move forward, if it moves forward.
Well, I mean, who supports this idea? I guess when I first read this story, I went, you know, it kind of made me go, what? You know, we pay people to leave the state. Is there an argument being made that we need to leave the law alone?
As far as I know, there isn't.
There are no organizations, the last time I checked, that have registered opposition to this proposal. It has support from the AFL-CIO. It has support from a coalition of real estate organizations. And as I mentioned before, it's a bipartisan bill. It has Republicans and Democrats signed on sponsoring. So there certainly isn't, as of right now, any opposition to this proposal. It would just be sort of how quickly can it make its way through the logistical process of the Capitol.
Laurel, thanks so much for following that logistical process for us and for coming in and talking about it. I really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
Up next, the news. Then Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller has turned his team's report over to the Attorney General. We break down the political reaction and what we do and do not know about the report so far. That's coming up next, and there's room for you to talk to us about this. 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network.